Who are you? That's a good question. I got the wrong TV show this morning. I'll get it right this time. Who are you? Some of you would remember in the 70s, the Who sang that song, Who Are You? And if you're a bit younger and don't remember that, it's the theme song for CSI. There you go, I said NCIS earlier on. It's CSI. It's the theme song for that. Who are you? I keep wanting to sing the next two words. Who? Anyway. You know the song? Anyway, who are you? What a great question. Who are you? I wonder how you answer that question. Actually, what's more interesting is, would you answer it differently today to how you would have answered it a few years ago? Probably yes. I would say yes. We change, don't we? And the things that we say, who I am, when actually that's not so important or it's not necessarily me today. We do change. Who am I? Our identity is so important. How we identify ourselves. It is really important. It's a fundamental question. It's a question that starts from childhood. It's the question of a two-year-old. They don't ask it as such, but at about the age of two, a child starts to realise that they are different to their parents. They are separate. Anyone who's been two, you probably won't remember, but has had a two-year-old knows that that is a really difficult time of realising that they are their own person. It happens again around teenage life, right? So adolescence is another time of identity and working out, who am I? How do I fit in the world and where am I going? And anyone who's ever been a teenager or had teenagers knows that that is a difficult time as well. But it happens again and again right through our life. We're challenged to think, who am I? What's my identity? And it's really important that we place our identity in the right things, in things that last, things that matter. Because if we put our identity in the wrong things, then our life can come crumbling down. Because from time to time in life, to quote the psalmist, the earth will shake and the mountains will crumble and fall. And if our identity is in those wrong things, that we will crumble and fall as well. We can lose ourselves in that. So it's really important that we place our identity in the right things. For example, if we place our identity in our work, what we do, what happens when we're made redundant or we retire? If we place our identity in our marriage, what happens if the marriage collapses or we are widowed? If we place our identity in our hobbies, what happens if we can't do them anymore? If we place our identity, I just thought a few moments ago, I was looking around, if we place our identity in our hair, some of us are in a lot of trouble. If we place our identity in our church, in the Salvation Army, what happens when it inevitably changes? If we place our identity in our ministry, what happens if that's taken from us or it changes? Where we place our identity is so important. I've loved this series, the I Am series, as Jesus answers that question, who is he? And he comes back with these statements of I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth and the life. And this week, I am the true vine. None of those are words that I would have thought of to answer the question, who am I? And maybe you wouldn't have thought of those answers either. And I've really enjoyed unpacking them and looking at them and listening to what does that mean of who Jesus is? And we come to this one today, Jesus' identity. I am the true vine in one of my most favourite passages, John chapter 15. Our Heavenly Father, as we listen and look at your word this morning, quieten our minds that we might hear from you. Open our hearts that we might receive from you and shape our identity through your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love these Bible readings as someone explains a bit, so it's not just a reading out of context and gives us some, thank you for that. That is so good to be able to have a bit of context when you read it. Sometimes we just pick a verse here or there and we forget that it comes within a story, it comes within a whole narrative. And so that's really helpful for us. John chapter 15, That Last Supper discourse that goes over these four chapters, the last words of Jesus to his disciples before his arrest, his trial, and his execution. Those words of comfort, those words of challenge, the last things he says. And here he now brings this picture of the vineyard. I am the true vine, he says. My father, he's the gardener. There's a few gardeners around here, I am sure. I know at least my in-laws are. And one of the things a gardener does is they prune. Right? You cut back. And it's really an important part of gardening because it's part of cleaning. You need to cut away the old things and cut back to enable new growth. And if you don't cut back, it becomes overgrown, but it also will die off. Okay, I'm looking at my strawberries at the moment, and over the next few weeks we'll start to cut them back ready and get rid of all the dead leaves and things so that hopefully they'll get the idea and give me some nice strawberries in spring. We cut back, and the gardener does that. The Greek word here that's used, prune, is the same word in Greek for clean. It's the same word, prune and clean. And I think that's a really helpful thing for us to think about as well. We often think of holiness as a cleaning thing. That God prunes, pruning is part of cleaning. And even good things get pruned away to let something better come. And most of us find that difficult, don't we? That something has to get cut away in order for something better to come. Especially if it's something that we really like or place our identity in. So here we are. Jesus says, I'm the vine. The Father is the gardener. He cuts back and we come to this beautiful verse, John 15, verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you and you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I just want to unpack that a little bit. And what that might mean is there's three things we need to understand from this. Firstly, what's the vine and the branches? What's all that about? What's the remaining mean? How does that look? How do we remain? What do we mean by that? And finally then, what is the fruit? What does that look like? What do we mean by that? So those are the three things I just want to unpack from that. And the whole 17 verses help us to understand that. When Jesus says, I am the vine, the Jews in the audience straight away know what he's talking about, or they've heard it before. The vine is a very common picture right through the Jewish scriptures, right through our Old Testament, and particularly through the prophets, the vine. And whenever the prophets talk about the vine or the true vine, they're talking about the people of God. The true vine are God's people. And I love that Jesus chooses this now, and he says, I am the true vine. It's part of what we call the incarnation, that God becomes one of us. And when he says, I'm the vine, he says, I am one. I'm part of the people of God. God is not separate out there away from us. God is right here with us, the vine. I love too that he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He didn't say, I am the trunk and you are the branches. Some of you know what that means straight away. If we look at the vine, and there's some lovely grapes there, but you can see some of the vine. If you look at a vine, you can't see, oh, there's the vine and there's the branch. It's not where the branch joins the vine. The branch is the vine, yeah? You don't say, oh, there's the branch, where's the vine? I'll go back and find where it's connected. No, that it is the vine. It's not separate. Jesus chose this imagery on purpose. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. We're connected intimately. He doesn't use this picture of saying, cling on and hold on for dear life, we're going on a journey. No, we are deeply connected, him in us and us in him. It's a deep connection. The vine and the branches are not two separate things. I've seen some pictures where they say, well, this part's the vine and that part's the branch. That's not how vines work. This is the vine, and there's one of the branches, and there's another branch, but this is the vine, all of that. The only time a branch is not part of the vine is when it's cut off and separated. Then it's no longer part of the vine, but it is the vine. So we're the vine too, if we're the branches. And that's what the word remain is talking about here. Remain in me. Stay connected. Stay part of the vine that we're living together. You remain in me and I remain in you. The New Revised Standard Version, and some of you would know some of the other older translations, use the word abide. Abide in me and I will abide in you. I like the imagery with that. It's not a word we use a lot, is it really? You don't say, would you like to come and abide with me today? We tend not to use that sort of language. Come stay with me, right? Come and hang out with me. But abide seems to me to have a bit of a deeper meaning than simply remain. To abide in Christ, to abide in him means to dwell in him, to live in him, to be intimately connected. I love that the word here is, there's an active part to it, but it's not a hard work. If I say, come and dwell here for a while, come and hang out, you go, well, what have I got to do? Is it hard? No, just come and hang out. Come and live. You know, when someone says to you, when they come to you, that you come to their house and they say, make it, you know, be at home. Make it your home. Feel at home. When someone says to that, you don't go, oh, that sounds too hard. I think I'll just be a visitor, thank you. Right? What they're saying to you is, just relax. Just relax. Be at home. Christ is saying, be at home in me. Dwell in me. Live in me. Abide in me. And he doesn't just say for us to do it. He abides in us and lives in us and dwells in us and hangs out with us. It's an intimate relationship, so close. It's not a hard work. It's not like we've got to tick a whole lot of boxes. We remain. I love that. Sometimes we make it hard. There's a lot of things in life that are hard. This is not one of them. This is not one of them. Abide in me. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, says Jesus, you'll bear much fruit. And we can see, wouldn't it be great, a bunch of grapes like that. But what is the fruit? What does that look like? We will bear fruit. Now often we think, well, the grape, the vine, the branch, it doesn't do a lot of work. The fruit comes naturally, doesn't it? If it's planted, if it's got the nutrients, the fruit just comes naturally. If we just simply remain in the vine, the fruit comes naturally. And what is the fruit? Paul tells us in Galatians 5, the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Gee, I got stuck this morning. I didn't get stuck this morning. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's 9 of them. Or 1 of them. They're all together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit. Our character. What we used to call holiness. Right? Yeah. This idea of being. And it comes naturally. Sometimes I think in our own movement, in the holiness movement, we're taught holiness as something you've got to really work hard at. Really work hard at. But that's not what Jesus says. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, and you will bear fruit. Holiness is a natural outcome. It is what happens when we're filled with the Spirit. How do you know someone's filled with the Spirit? Because they will be holy in increasing measure, growing in it. That's the outcome of abiding in Christ, holiness. My favourite definition of holiness is becoming all that we were created to be. Holiness is becoming all that we were created to be. There's a good word for identity, isn't it? What's your identity? My identity is being all that I was created to be. My identity is to be holy. Who am I? I am in Christ, and he is in me. And because of that, I am holy. All the other things will flow from that. But if that's at the base, no matter what else happens, when the world, the earth quakes and the mountains crumble into the sea, I won't go tumbling after them. Now, I don't want to minimise those other things I mentioned when I talked about our identity. I don't want to minimise those things. Some of you experienced some of those things, and some of you experienced earth-shattering things far greater than I have ever experienced or maybe ever will. They are painful. They hurt. They can, you know, when the earth shakes and the mountains crumble in the sea, it's not like, you go, oh, well, I'm on a holiday. You will feel it. Okay. But when our identity is in Christ, we don't go with it. We're able to have some security in the middle of all of that. Our identity is important. And those things are important things. But if our identity is in Christ, then we will become all that we were created to be. We will find our full identity. If our identity is in Christ, we'll become all we were created to be. The Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. This is what it means, that we become fully alive. I love that we are challenged this way with these statements of Jesus, the I am statements. He continually calls us back to himself, doesn't he? He says, come back. You want to find yourself? Come to me. If you want to find your identity, come to me. If you want to find who you were really meant to be, come to me. If you want to find your way, come to me. If you want to be nourished, come to me. Remain in me. This is why we come into church, I think, on a Sunday, because it's a chance to stop and remember, hey, come back to Christ. But the prayer is not that we just come to Christ on Sunday for this hour, but we remain in him this afternoon. We remain in Christ tomorrow and through the week. In everything we do, our first identity is in Christ. Who are you? Who are you? The Holy Spirit lives in us and whispers deep into our hearts, you are a child of God. You are all you were created to be. You are holy. You are mine. Isn't that a wonderful promise of Scripture? So I don't know what's happening in your lives right now, but that picture from the psalmist just does it for me, you know, the earth shaking and the mountains crumbling into the sea. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? And when it feels like that, maybe it does for you this week. I invite you to abide in Christ. Don't make it too hard. Abide in him, and he will abide in you. And the fruit will come. What does it mean to abide in him? He says, abide in me. Abide in my words. Abide in my love. Abide in my joy. There's the promise. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray now that you, by your Spirit, will come. That we will be aware of your very presence. Of you alive in us as we become alive in you. We're sorry for the times, Lord, that we've made other things our identity and we've been less than who you created us to be. But we long today to be all you created us to be. We rest in you and we ask that you will continue to show us what that means. Abide in us, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit.